Maryam, I want to give just a little bit of background on you. Maryam, mashallah, number one, she's a hafiz Quran. So goals. All of us strive to be hafizat. You're getting your second bachelor's degree at Al-Azhar right now in Islamic studies, correct?
I finished it, alhamdulillah.
Finished? Oh my gosh, mabruk, that's incredible.
Oh, thank you.
And you did that remote, is that right?
Yes, I did.
But your first bachelor's was critical race and child psychology, is that right?
Yeah, child psychology was my bachelor's, and then critical race theory was my research for my master's. Alhamdulillah.
Amazing. So you are coming from a ton of strength. Lots of knowledge. We're so happy to have you. Thank you for being on with us.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Cool. So you ready to kick it off?
Yeah, I think so. Inshallah. Bismillah.
Bismillah. Wait, where are you calling in from? Where do you live?
California.
That's right. I just wanted everybody to know. She's coming in from Cali. Cool. So let's get into it. I'm really excited about the topic of du'a. You know, this all started because we had a communal du'a, if you will, Zainab Sedman led. And after that, so many women were like, I didn't even know you could make du'a like this. I didn't know that we were allowed to make du'a this way. I've never heard du'a like this. And we were like, okay, we need to do something and allow and let everyone know that you could do this every day and that, you know, there's not specific times for du'a. So just at the top, let's start really basic. What is du'a? Why do we make du'a?
Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. So when we look at what du'a is, I'm sure all of you have heard, or most of you have heard of the concept of du'a, but du'a is one of, it's the essence of worship. And subhanAllah, when you look at what du'a is, the reason why it's so powerful is because it impacts three different parts of your life. And all of them we think about and we process, but we don't know how du'a works with us in all of those ways. So the first one is when we think about du'a, it impacts our spiritual health. And the second one is it impacts our mental health. And the third one is it impacts our relationship with other people and the health that we have in our relationships. So let's look at what du'a is in our lives and also the way that it impacts the way that we interact with the world and most importantly, the way we interact with our Lord. So in terms of spiritual health, I get questions all the time from sisters who are like, I've been making the same du'a for, you know, 6 months, for 2 years, for 3 years, for 5 years, and bad things keep happening to me and my du'a isn't answered. And am I saying the wrong things? And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep testing me in this way? And those are very human reactions. I think all of us get to this point where we're like, why does this keep happening? But at the same time, when we look at spiritual health, there was a sister who came to me and she said that she had had a baby that was born stillbirth, which is extremely hard. That is such a test. And then right after that, she had a miscarriage with her second pregnancy. And so she asked me, why do I have to go through this twice? Why do I have to go through that, those types of trials? They're both the same kind of trial, two different times. And after we talked and we processed a bit, she said something which I think is really important for us to focus on, especially in Ramadan. And that is, she said she had never made so much du'a or felt the sweetness of her relationship with Allah until she went through these trials. So going through those types of struggles are what caused her to feel like she could make du'a in a way that from the depth of her heart, she felt like she was on a boat in the middle of the ocean. She felt like she was drowning and no one could save her except for Allah. And so that type of du'a that just bubbles out of your heart in desperation, that's a type of sweetness that you experience when you're in that depth and you know nobody else can answer you. But of course, you also need to see signs of Allah's love for you through that process. Because when you're going through so much difficulty over and over, it can be very difficult to feel like Allah's even listening to you. And so one of the parts of spiritual health when it comes to du'a is recognizing that there are things that happen in your life that may not be huge, but they are answers to du'as that you might have made a long time ago. Maybe right now, it's not best for whatever you're making du'a for, but in His mercy and love for you, and the fact that you keep making du'a, He answers you in a different way. So I'll give you an example. When I was blessed to go for Hajj many years ago, it was actually also in 2012, alhamdulillah, I was with my husband and two sisters who were very, like, very beloved to me. And so we were in a group that, may Allah bless, you know, everyone, had extremely judgmental attitudes. The two sisters that I was with, after a few days of this type of treatment, they started to cry. And unfortunately, like, you know, you see the difficult aspects of character in our ummah when you go for Hajj, and we pray all of us to have, you know, the best character with Allah and the character of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But when you see that in Hajj, especially, you're like, this is so real. Like, this is how our ummah is. Because you're in Mecca, you're in Medina, you're in Hajj, and you can still treat someone this way. So they were super sad. They were crying. All the emotions had gotten kind of overwhelming them. And I was like, they had been asking. They were just like in Mina, in the tent city. Like, if you haven't gone for Hajj, it's literally a city of tents. Like, that's all it is. There's just tents everywhere. And subhanAllah, they were like talking about how much they wanted Baskin Robbins ice cream specifically. And okay, I'm not like branding. I'm not trying to like promote Baskin Robbins, but that's what they wanted. And we were in the middle of tents, just like tents everywhere. And so my husband and I were like, let's go see if we can find Baskin Robbins ice cream. We walk out, and there's just tents everywhere. There's nothing. There's a small stand that has food that had probably like 4,000 people in line. But they had a woman's side that had like 3 people in line. So I went to that side and I was like, hey, excuse me, do you guys have ice cream? And they were like, no, we're like in the middle of the desert. We don't have ice cream. So I was like, may Allah bless you. So subhanAllah, after like an hour, we hadn't found anything, and we go back into our area and we're just making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like facilitates the way. And we walk into where our group tent is, and there is someone standing with Baskin Robbins ice cream. And I asked, where did you get this? And they were like, oh, it's from this tent. So they were like in a higher up group, and they had this like chill area where they all had couches and AC, and we're getting ice cream. So I was like, maybe we could go and like pay for the ice cream since that's not part of our package. So I went to ask, you know, the person who was serving the ice cream, like, excuse me, like, we're not part of this package, but can we buy the ice cream? And he told me, you can buy ice cream with cough drops. If you have cough drops, I can give you some ice cream. And I think that anyone hearing this would be like, oh, like, he's funny, he's trying to make a joke. Or maybe in Hajj time, everyone has lost their voice, and so he just wanted to like, you know, really badly wanted cough drops. But I always have cough drops. I have cough drops everywhere all the time. I am the cough drop person. The fact that Allah knew this need of his and knew this need of these sisters and sent me to go to him who had what I needed, to give him what I had, to bring it back to these women who just in passing were wishing to Allah that they had ice cream. Subhanallah, in the middle of the desert, how Allah can facilitate all of these different people coming together just to bring comfort to some people. That is an answer of dua. That might not be your biggest life test being answered, because only Allah knows why we're tested with those big life tests. And as we get into the second point, which is mental health, dua impacts your mental health, because especially life is filled with trials. And we see that amongst prophets who are so righteous. They are the most righteous people on the face of the earth. And they went through the most difficult trials. And we don't say, oh, that means that they don't have strong iman, or oh, that means Allah doesn't answer their dua. A'udhu billah, we would never say that. We simply say they are examples for all of us who are going to go through life trials, and yet they still held on to Allah. Look at Yaqub alayhi salam. He lost Yusuf alayhi salam for 40 years, he cried. 40 years before he was rejoined with Yusuf alayhi salam. Did he cry for a year and then was told, okay, get over it, you need to stop now? Even though his family was like, you're still not over this? And Yaqub alayhi salam told them that I complained to Allah, and I know from Allah what you don't know. Subhanallah, we often are told you need to get over your feelings. But we see with the prophets that sometimes for them, it took even longer than the time that it takes for us. And that's okay. What is so beautiful about dua for your mental health, subhanAllah, a therapist told me that what is so powerful for on a personal psychological level is that when you're making dua, you are being heard uninterrupted. There's a validation in knowing that someone is listening to you and that they are not going to stop you from crying out to them. And they're going to listen to you the entire time. And not only that, they're also going to respond to you. And we'll talk about the ways that responses come, inshallah, later. But the point is that you are seen when you make dua. And subhanAllah, sometimes the way that you're seen isn't the way you want to be seen. And that can be a struggle internally. But that's also when you process that he knows the end. So when we look at, for example, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, he was born into a place where baby boys are being slaughtered. Now, why didn't Allah simply bless his mother with a girl? That would have just been the solution. She could have had a baby girl. She could have said, why wasn't I born with a girl? Why did I have to be born in this year, on this day? Why did her son have to be born in this year, at this time? SubhanAllah, Fir'aun, he is killing all these babies. She has this ilham to put the baby into a basket, into a river. Now, if Melanie suggested I do that, or I suggested someone else do that, I think all of us would be like, block, unfollow, possibly call the authorities. I don't want this person in my life in any way. But she put her baby into a basket, and SubhanAllah, it's not like Allah sent that baby into another country to be saved by another type of person who could protect the baby. Allah put that basket right into the home of the Pharaoh, exactly where she was trying to protect him from. Why would Allah send the baby directly to the Pharaoh? All of us, I think, would be like, Allah, I put my trust in you. I mean, that's what exactly I was trying to save him from. But because he was sent there, Fir'aun not only adopted him, he also sent this baby back to his mother. Allah made it so that Musa would come back to his mom. And now she didn't have to hide. She had the protection of the state. And not only that, the palace was giving her provision. So in all of these different ways, she was being cared for from the baby that she put her trust in Allah for. Even though Musa alayhi salam was sent to Pharaoh, the fact that he was sent there set up the stage for him to be able to save an entire nation of people. And until now, all of us draw inspiration from Musa alayhi salam. All of us are impacted by that action of Musa alayhi salam. And so sometimes when you go through something in the middle of it, you're like, why was I delivered to the doorstep of the Pharaoh? You have to step back and look at, but Allah knows the full picture. And sometimes for the long lasting impact of what's going to happen in my life, far after I leave this world, it's so short. I mean, really, at the most, inshallah, Allah blesses all of us with living to 109 and more. But at the most, it's probably going to be around that. And then people are going to forget. You're going to be gone. But what they won't forget is the actions that you did. And even if they forget your name, even if you are wiped off the face of the earth, the same sky, the same trees, they are witnessing the actions that you did while you were here. And subhanAllah, you don't know what part of the earth is going to miss you. What part of the earth weeps for your loss, for you to leave it. And so you don't know what beautiful end, inshallah, is in store for the reason that that dua isn't answered right now in the way that you see it. And I know in my own life, when I was in college, I had a dua that I kept making over and over. And I made dua in sujood, in Ramadan, like, and when it was raining, anytime I was making this dua. And I kept being tested over and over, no matter what happened. Everything that I was making dua for, one door would close and it would lead me further away from that dua being answered. And subhanAllah, it took 7 years for that dua to be answered. And when it was answered, I realized in that moment that it happened at the best time for me, in the best way for me, and it would not have come true unless all those doors were closed to lead me on those different paths that I needed to be for that exact moment to take place. So sometimes it's hard for us to see the answer in the moment. We just wonder why. But this goes back to trusting in who our Lord is. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ وَالْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. That to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most beautiful name. So make dua to him by those names. And the Quraysh were like, you say that you can't call upon all these gods, but you call to Al-Qadir, you call to Ar-Rahman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse that Allah has the most beautiful names, all these different names. So call to Allah by these names. And that is part of the process, getting to know who Allah is. Because if I keep thinking, why does Allah do this to me? And I don't know who he is. Then it's like saying, why isn't Melody responding to my calls? Why doesn't she want to call me? Why doesn't she respond? And I'm like, she must hate me. Oh, she's busy. But it must be something I did. What did I do wrong? Oh, no, it's her. It's not me. It's totally her. I've given her so many excuses. We do that to people. Of course, Allah's example is so much greater. But if I know Melanie and I know her as a person and I care about her and I know where she's coming from, I would never be like, she's trying to like totally just ignore me. I would be like, she's got a lot going on. Except with Allah, that's not the case. With Allah, you are part of what He has going on, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single person, He knows what we're all going through, and He answers all of us at the same time. But knowing who He is, by learning about Him through His book, the Quran, by reading about His names and making a dua to Him by that specific name, inshallah, that process will sweeten our relationship with Him and will help us understand why we're going through some of the things we go through in our lives. And I would recommend, there's a series on the virtualmosque.com. No, it's a virtualmosque.com by Jean Ann. It's called the Names of Allah series. If you just Google the Names of Allah series, Virtual Mosque, it's a PDF with the names of Allah. Pick a name, pick an article every week, one name, make dua to Allah by that name for a week. And inshallah, in 3 months, see where you are in your heart. And I think guaranteed, inshallah, you're going to be in a completely different place. When you send salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are angels waiting at your lips just for you to say that and send your salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that there are angels writing deeds for us, and there are angels that come to us. There are angels that roam the earth looking for halaqas of dhikr, just like this one, just so they can come and surround that halaqa. And okay, that's amazing, angels, yay. But we don't know what angels do. When angels make dua for you, if one angel made dua for all the believers, Allah would forgive all the believers. So what about all the angels making dua for you at the same time? What about the angels, when they make dua for you, it's accepted? What about the angels being a means of bringing mercy into your life and bringing barakah and forgiveness into your life? And that's out of Allah's love for you, because Allah commands the angels to do these things. Allah commands them to roam the earth looking for opportunities for you, out of Allah's love for you. When you make dua for someone else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an angel that comes and says ameen and for you. When you make dua for other people, that means that angels are coming to you and praying for that same thing for you. And I'll tell you again, in my life, I made dua for someone over and over. It's a very specific dua. She wanted something so badly. It was one of my friends. And subhanAllah, it was something she was like talking to me about all the time. Like, oh my God, this is like, I wish. I was making dua for her all the time. And I didn't want this dua, but that dua came true for me. Subhanallah, that dua came true for me. And in the moment when it happened, I was like, is this because I made so much dua for her? Like, why did it happen for me and not for her? But out of that dua coming true for me, years later, something happened. And in the moment, I didn't need it. But years later, I did. So subhanallah, I benefited from the dua that I made for someone else in a long-term way. But you know what she got? She got something even better than the dua that I was making for her. And it came for her at a later time, but I had no doubt that it was because of the collective dua we made together for her. The companions, when they wanted something, they made dua for someone else because they knew that their chances of getting the response was actually in the fact that they were praying for someone else. So the fact that you pray for someone else and they don't even know it and it's behind their back, do it for them. Do it for your loved ones. Do it for the angels coming into your life. Do it for your own healing. Sometimes our trauma is so real because we can't let go of what someone has done to us. I'm not telling you to let go of what someone has done to you. I'm not telling you to forget. I'm telling you to go to therapy. I'm telling you to find support. I'm telling you to process your emotions. And in the process of all that, get to a point where you realize that at some point, if you start making a dua for someone else, that means that there's a progress in your healing. And that doesn't mean you need to make dua for someone who has wronged you in a serious, triggering way. I'm not suggesting that. Someone who has wronged you in a very triggering way, I'm not suggesting you go and you pour your dua out and ask Allah to forgive them. You're not required to do that. I'm simply saying that sometimes we hold on to things that hurt us more than it hurts other people. So take all of that into dua. And subhanAllah, when we are praying for other people, we're going to find that we have control. Something happens to us from someone else that we feel oppressed by. Something happens to someone we love and we feel like we don't have control. It gives us control. It's an action we can do. And it's a place we are seen and we are heard, not only by someone who cares about us and is willing to listen, but someone who can change things and someone who is actively involved in your life and who loves you more than you even love yourself and love the people that you love. So there's the three aspects of du'a and why they are helpful for us in our lives, inshallah.
So if you can speak on the practical of the actual practice and logistically, what is the right way to make du'a?
So one of the most basic forms, let's just talk on the very basic level. I'm contacted by people who can't openly be Muslim because of their families, or they're in a lot of situations where they can't sit and fulfill all of the etiquettes of du'a. And they're wondering, can they still make du'a? So just on the most basic form, when you are stripped down and have nothing else, make du'a from your heart. Just call out from your heart. Whatever it is, the desperation you feel, that desperation, call out from your heart. Allah knows what's happening in your heart. And He will listen to you. Now, if you're able to actually make du'a in a like actual form, some of the etiquettes of du'a are going to make wudu. Being in a state of wudu. Of course, if you're not in a state of wudu, don't let that stop you from making du'a. Make du'a anyway. One of the reasons that I think we don't do righteous actions is because sometimes we're like, oh, I have to go make wudu to be able to do that. I have to make wudu before I can read Quran. I have to make wudu before I can make du'a. If it's going to stop you from doing the action, then it's an etiquette. It's not a requirement. If you can, be in a state of wudu. Face the Qibla is another etiquette, not a requirement. It's an etiquette to face the Qibla. Raising your hands, again, an etiquette of du'a, that you raise your hands like someone who is begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. And I didn't understand what it meant to really ask Allah for something from an emotional level. Like, of course, all of us make du'a from emotional places, but the way that I saw it, like, given to me as an example in the, like, the highest form of it that I've seen in a public way was when I moved to Egypt to study. There was an imam there who was leading tarawih, and he would make du'a like this. So first, of course, one of the etiquettes of du'a is to begin by praising Allah. So you praise Him. Oh Allah, thank You for all You've given me. Oh Allah, You are the one with the most beautiful names. Alhamdulillah for all Your blessings. You just praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that opening, that conversation with Him. And then you start sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more salawat you send on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in general, in your life, those salawat are a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending salam to you, the angel sending salam to you, your ranks being raised, your a means of your forgiveness. There's no loss with sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you give as much salawat to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as you have time for in your dua. And just saying even one time, Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad, or just peace be upon him, oh Muhammad sallallahu, or oh Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's enough inshallah. But if you can do more, great. And then going into dua. So he would go into dua like this. He would praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he would start making dua like someone who is broken. And the only one who can mend him is Allah. And he's making this dua in front of thousands of people. And he is weeping. And the way he would call out to Allah is a way that, subhanAllah, you just feel the desperation. He would say, oh Allah, if You turn us away, who is going to answer us? Oh Allah, if You don't answer us, who are we going to turn to? Don't turn us away. Don't turn us away. Don't turn us away. La taruddana kha'ibin. Don't turn us away. He kept saying that over and over. And then he would say things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. So he would say, for example, you told us in your book, and your book is the truth. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Oh Allah, You told us, make du'a to Me and I will answer You. Here we are making du'a to You. Answer us, answer us, answer us. It's begging. It's begging from the depths of your heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that I felt that dua being answered, not just for him, but for everyone in that crowd. He made dua for things that I've never made dua for in my life. But just being present in that moment, those du'as came true for my life. And when they happened, I said, this is from that sheikh. Because his dua was so from the heart. It was just so, it was like all his pain was on his hands. And like, this is the thing about dua, like, you feel weighed down by your shoulder, like, just physically in your shoulders. Like, do me a favor, sit up for a second like this. Oh, like, just sit up, put your shoulders back, smile. Give me that million-dollar watt smile you have, Melanie. Mashallah, I love seeing your smile. If I have a bad day, I like to go onto Melanie's Instagram live, no, her like feed, her stories, and just watch her just like, hi everyone, and like smile. It just makes me so happy. May Allah bless you and make you smiling always in this life and when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It just brings me so much joy. But that smile that you feel, like, you sit up and you smile. How do you physically feel right now, Melanie, when you're doing that?
Happy.
Okay, do me a favor now. Shrink your body like this. All right? Put your head down. Try to feel like, I'm just so unhappy right now. I just feel overwhelmed. All right, how do you feel now?
Heavy.
Heavy. You physically feel heavier. It's just about the posture you have, the way that you feel, the opening. If you physically feel heavier in your life, like, Allah made sujood for us as such a point of healing. You physically take that pain into your sujood. You physically take that pain into your dua. You go into that space and you call out to Him. And you remove that pain that you feel that's physically weighing you down into your hands that's taken up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much more freeing is that process? How many times have you felt so overwhelmed until you got to a place where you needed to bawl? And when you were bawling, you suddenly felt this relief. You stood up feeling like, I don't have the answers, but I don't feel like I'm alone. And that is what's so beautiful about the process of calling out to Allah in the depths of your pain. It's not that everything's going to fix right away. It's that you know that you're not alone in the process. So part of the process is just humbling ourselves to Him in a way that only He can see, only He can know. And then afterwards, putting our trust in Him, that we've called out to Him, we're continually calling out to Him. And I know that sometimes we feel like, oh, I don't want to make dua to find my keys. Like, oh, I really need my keys right now. I will make dua for it, but I wish I was spending this time making dua for something really big. But don't look at it like that. Look at it like every time we make dua, it's a form of worship. And every time you make dua, it's a form of me connecting to Allah. When you have a friend, you're going to be like, and then I couldn't find my keys and it took me forever. And then I was at the red light and oh, it took forever. And like, you'll tell them those parts of your day because you're friends and you're just like, oh, let's just hang out. Let's just decompress. Let's process. Do that with Allah. Don't look at it like, oh, He's too busy for me. No, part of your belief in Him is the fact that you know that even though He has the entire earth and everything outside and in it, He still listens to you very immediately, very personally, even the depths of your heart that you don't even know how to say out loud. Think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know that you go through a lot. I know what it's like to lose someone you love and the fear and not having what you want come true. But look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was, subhanAllah, not only in a space of isolation, and then he was persecuted, and then he saw so many people that he loved taken from him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lost every single one of his children, from infanthood to adulthood, except for Fatima radiallahu anha. Every single child in his lifetime, except for Fatima radiallahu anha. He lost his best friend Khadija. He lost both of his parents. He never knew his dad. He lost his mom, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Loss after loss after loss. And his mother, he would go to her grave, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, decades later, and he would cry over that loss. It's not a loss that you just forget. Those of you who have lost your loved ones, you know that pain. It doesn't go away. It's not like with time, it gets easier. It's just maybe the tears are not as intense, but the pain doesn't go away. It's always there. And Allah sees that, and He knows that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through that. And so we have every single type of loss that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gone through in his own lifetime. And we end our dua with that recognition. And that's not part of, I'm not telling you from the Sharia, this is just my personal reflection. That when you love someone and you miss them, remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went through life missing so many people too. You're not alone. You're not alone. Allah doesn't not see your pain. and he does not know what you're going through. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself went through that and so much more that we didn't even talk about today. And so this is a moment that I can connect to that beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that inshallah on the day of judgment, that because of that pain of that loss, that I will be rejoined with him at the hold of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we pray that no matter what someone went through at the end of their life, no matter what they did, that Allah knows exactly what they were going through. And that in that moment, he is a forgiver. He knows exactly why. He knows what the hearts don't know. And it's with him that's so easy for him to forgive them. And that he rejoins us with them at the hold of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So ending our dua with that salam on our beloved, and knowing that that salam is inshallah what will bring us even closer to him on the day of judgment, sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Salam inshallah. Oh, I love that so much. I think that a lot of the questions, and I think a lot of us sometimes feel frustrated that when we're making dua, we feel as though it's not coming soon, it's not coming at all. But, you know, we may forget that every time we make dua, we are being answered in some way. So if you can go through what that is.
Dua can be answered exactly like it's meant to be, like you're asking for it, or it can be answered in a better way at a better time, or it can be answered later on, or it can be a means of something being averted from you. How many times have you been about to get into an accident pre-quarantine? And when you're about to get into that accident, suddenly the car's like swerve. Has that ever happened to you? Anytime that happens to me, I'm like, subhanAllah, this is a dua that I made that wasn't answered in the way that I saw it, but Allah is protecting me. Because man, we were definitely supposed to collide. But I feel like maybe the wings of the angels are there to buffer the car. Because they just suddenly, it feels like there's like bumpers all over the car. SubhanAllah, maybe those are the wings of the angels that Allah has sent to protect you. Because of the dua that you made 5 years ago that you didn't see the answer of. But Allah has protected you now because of that dua. And also, it's a means of that dua being seen in the hereafter. You may not have that dua answered right now, but in the hereafter, that's when you really want that dua to be answered. Because that's when it's going to be an eternal answer. It's not just for the, you know, time that we're on this earth, which, yes, oh Allah, please answer all of our dua here too, and then answer all of our dua by giving us exactly what we asked for, but way better in the hereafter. The thing about Allah that I love, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is, well, everything, but also is that once I was talking to a sheikh who was one of my mentors, and I was like, you know, we hear this concept in our deen, which is like, Allah loves you if you're tested, right? Like, you hear that. If you're tested so much, it's a sign of Allah's love, which is so true. If you are tested, it's a sign of his love for you. Look at it in that way. It's the way that you look at it. What's your reaction going to be? Is this going to be, I'm going to, inshallah, try my best to come closer to him because of this test? Work on that. That's a sign, inshallah, of his love for you. But at the same time, we also hear like, if you're tested, it means Allah loves you. If you're tested, it means Allah loves you. So you're like, if I'm not tested, does that mean I need to be tested? I get this question all the time. So many good things are coming my way, alhamdulillah, that I'm worried that, does this mean that I'm not doing something right? Does this mean I'm supposed to be tested in some way? My sheikh said, when Allah sends you mercy, ride the waves of mercy. You never want to be tested. So don't ask Allah for patience. Don't say, oh Allah, make me patient. Oh Allah, give me patience. Say, oh Allah, give me ease. Oh Allah, give me ease. Because how are you going to be trained to develop patience unless you go through tests to become a patient person? You're training, you're asking dua, you're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me patient. But you're like watching Netflix all day, you're eating ice cream, you're just chilling, like super patient, nothing is happening in your life. But suddenly you're tested over and over and over, and then it's like, okay, now I need to practice patience. So I'm definitely not saying that you shouldn't ask to be a patient person. Although I literally just said that. That's not what I mean. What I mean is we don't ask for tests. We ask for ease. That's the point. We ask Allah to bless our life. Oh Allah, we don't know what the people who've gone through the type of hardship we can't imagine have gone through. Right now, there are vulnerable populations all over the world. And like, yes, there are some difficulties that come with being in a quarantine. And there are even more difficulties for people who have very difficult economic or domestic struggles in their lives. There are the health issues. There are so many trials that some of us experience that are different from other people. But there are also people who go through that in concentration camps. There are people who go through that in refugee camps. Like all of us have different levels of struggle, right? And we don't all know what the immensity of someone else's struggles are. But we think those people must be the people who are getting into the highest levels of paradise because of the trials that they have to go through. I'm sure you've thought that, heard that idea, that their reward is in the hereafter. But we pray for them and we beg Allah to remove their affliction and to miraculously give them something better. And we ask that Allah, because of our love for them, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that we're going to be with the people that we love. So we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without being tested, that out of our love for them, He joins us with those people. And we beg Allah to cure them, to relieve them of their affliction. And of course, we have to see what we need to do, because part of the answer of dua is working for it.
Inshallah. And, you know, beyond, I think, the how you so eloquently put out everything that will happen in dua, and I love that you touched upon maybe there are things we shouldn't make dua for. Can you talk about, somebody had a very specific question. She said, is it true that when we're making dua, we're not supposed to say inshallah? And I guess if you can touch upon the conviction aspect and what that means and why that's important in making dua.
So part of a sign that you believe in Allah is that you are certain Allah's going to answer you. Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to say that he's not worried about the dua being answered. He's just worried if his heart is going to be present enough in dua. Your dua will be answered, inshallah. There's no doubt. Like, you will be answered. It's just about you asking with a present enough heart. There's a difference. Like, I've seen so many people do this. I'm sure all of us have done this at some point. You're like, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And then you run away. You don't even know what you said. You put your hands up and you ran. SubhanAllah. Like, if someone called me and I was like, and I'm like, what? Like, of course Allah knows exactly what you said, but you don't even know what you said. So, like, when you are sincerely going to Allah and you're making a dua, He is going to answer you. He is going to listen to you. There is no doubt about that. So please, today, make dua for me and my family. Make dua for Melanie and her family. There is no doubt Allah will answer your dua for you and for us, inshallah. No doubt. But we also have to have certainty. When you say inshallah, it's like, oh Allah, if you will answer this dua, Allah will. He will answer the dua. There's no doubt He will answer the dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, udu Allah, make dua to Allah, wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba, and you are certain that He will answer you without doubt. And I actually would love to tell you guys this story. I've posted about it before, so I'm so sorry if you've read about it. Not that any of you have, because no one has ever heard of me before, so you're like, who is this random person? So I'm going to tell you the story. So there we go. So basically, subhanAllah, I was so blessed to be in Medina a few years ago. And I normally have like these really old cell phones. Like, you know, I don't normally get new cell phones. Alhamdulillah, I was so blessed with a gift of a new cell phone. It was like a brand new iPhone, which is like, oh my God, this is such a responsibility. What am I going to do with this? I'm about to go on a trip. It was such a blessing. I was going to take all these pictures. We were going to visit, relatives. And alhamdulillah, I had so many photos from Mecca and with family who are seeing like my loved ones. And I had so many personal notes on there that I had taken on the trip, and I had just had it for a week. I didn't back it up at all. And we're in Medina and we're leaving Medina, and I'm just like videotaping Uhud. And then I had my phone on airplane mode because I didn't have any data anyway, and we were about to get onto an airplane. So I just put it on airplane mode. I put the phone next to me in a taxi. It's not an Uber, just or Lyft or anything. I just put it down. And then we get to the airport, we get out, and I walk into the airport, and I'm like, SubhanAllah, look at the architecture of this airport. I want to take a picture. I left my cell phone in a taxi in Medina. We ran out. Like, oh my God, Allah musta'an. Like, I've had this phone for like a week. Like, this is why I always get old cell phones, because I'm going to lose it in a week. Alhamdulillah, since that time, I have not lost a phone. But the point is that I am like freaking out. Like, I go out and I'm in Medina, and I want to tell you guys something that, like, obviously a cell phone is important to our daily life, right? Probably most of us spend a lot of our time doing our work, connecting with people. So much comes from our cell phones, but it's not someone's life. May Allah protect everyone. It's not like your, you know, provision for the rest of life. May Allah protect everyone. It's just a cell phone. But for me, it wasn't just this phone. It had so much. It had so many pictures that I was supposed to send to so many family members. All I could think about was like how much responsibility I have on this phone, and I lost it in a week. So I'm out there in Medina, outside the airport, and I'm making dua. And subhanAllah, as I'm making dua, I'm just begging Allah, and I'm thinking about every single one of these things, like, oh Allah, like, I am a beggar at your doorstep, and I know that a cell phone is nothing, but you say, Rahmati wasi'at kull shay, and I'm a thing, your mercy overcomes everything, and I'm a thing, and this is something that means something to me, and oh Allah, I know it's so silly, but oh Allah, you can answer all du'a, I'm in Medina, like, please, and I'm going to have certainty in you, and I'm praying to you, and I have, like, so much certainty you're going to answer this, and I'm praying, like, every hadith I can think of, every du'a, oh Allah, you told me, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ وَجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Oh Allah, you told me that when you, when servant calls upon me, I answer. I'm like praying my heart out. And like also when you pray like this, especially for something like a cell phone, add, and every other dua I should be making right now that I can't remember, answer it too. Make a general dua like that. And also give me the best of this life and the next. And also any dua for anyone has ever asked me to make for them, answer it in this moment. So that it's not just about your phone. It's about everything, especially when you come with all that emotion. I'm like, there's no way this dua isn't answered. I'm looking. No taxis are coming up. I'm running from one person to another. Like, excuse me, how do I get a hold of a taxi? And they're like, you don't. You just, it's a taxi. So I get on my flight. I didn't have my phone. We get to Dubai. My husband had brought an old phone so that we could put SIM cards in them because we're going to be in Dubai for a few days. So he put a SIM card in mine, and he wasn't going to put one on his, but he just last minute decided to. When he texts me from his number, if he were to text me from a non-Dubai number, his name would come up with like 700 emojis. There's no number there, right? It's just his name. But he texted, and then he said, oh, I accidentally texted your actual number. Let me text your Dubai number. So he texts my Dubai number. I get the phone number from a new phone number. That was confusing, but let's move forward. Then a few hours later, his phone starts ringing. And I answer the phone. It's from a number from Saudi Arabia. A sister on the other line tells me, I found your cell phone in a taxi in Medina. And I want to know if I can get it to you. And in addition to the fact that this sister is incredible and she was so trustworthy to be able to do that, my phone by then would have run out of battery. It was locked. She couldn't have like put in the numbers. If she had seen his text message from his name, she wouldn't have been able to get a number from it. And this is before that app that you could like, or whatever it is now, the feature that you, if you have your lost cell phone, this is before all that. She had to have like plugged in my phone and like see it on the screen that there's a new number coming in that he called me from on accident from a number that he wasn't supposed to get. And then she was able to call me that way. And I'm just sitting there like, literally my response to her was, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then I'm like, how am I going to get my phone from Medina? I'm now in Dubai. SubhanAllah. Many of you have heard of Sheikh Hasib Noor. May Allah bless Sheikh Hasib Noor and raise his ranks. Follow him on Instagram. He is just someone who just consistently brings barakah and noor into your life. And many of you have maybe heard of Sheikh Ahmed Bilu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Sheikh Ahmed Bilu. That's someone who him and his wife have done so much for da'wah and just bringing so much noor. May Allah bless both of them. SubhanAllah. So, alhamdulillah, that I was so blessed to know people studying in Medina, that they were able to meet this sister in Medina. But now they have my phone, and at least it's someone I know. But what am I going to do with getting it? I had a friend who was going for Umrah the following week, and she knew this couple. So she meets them. They met in Mecca. SubhanAllah, my cell phone is more righteous than me in every single way. MashaAllah, it has gone to all the holy places. So they meet in Mecca, they get my cell phone, and she comes back to California with my phone. But she also lives 7 hours away from me. So how am I gonna get it? The weekend she comes back, the day after, I'm invited to speak at a conference in her city. So I go to her city, and this sister is with my cell phone on my birthday, MashaAllah, and she gives me my cell phone from Medina. I mean, if that doesn't show you how Allah will bring the heavens and the earth together to answer your dua, That was my cell phone. Imagine when you're praying to him because of your iman, because of your depression, because you're worried about your child, because you care about your loved one. If that all of that will come together for my ridiculous cell phone, then what about Allah and your dua to him from the depths of your heart and your pain? He will answer you. There is no way he's not going to answer you.
A lot of people have the same exact question, which is, how do I know to just resign that this is qada? Just to read these out, how many times do I pray over and over again for the same dua, and when should I just realize it's not going to happen? How do I determine if something is just not meant for me after years of dua and effort?
Yes, so qadr is absolutely impacted by your dua. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our future and he knows what he has decreed for our lives. But even like the way that I think is, I've heard once someone explain qadr like this and I thought it made such a simple picture. When you think of someone in the past, they use the example of Martin Luther King. If you think of Martin Luther King, you can tell me generally his life story, generally when he died, generally major events in his life. If you really study about him, maybe minor events. The point is, it doesn't mean that we impacted his life in any way. It just means that we know what happened because we came later. So in that, not the same way, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's example is the best. But think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows our futures. He knows everything. That doesn't mean that we don't make free-willed choices. We do. He just happens to already know the choices we're going to be making. Qadr, though, can be changed. And even that is already written with him. There are some that is written with him, and there are some that changes over in the time. So you can absolutely impact your life by making dua and also by giving charity. Give charity. It's a means of your life being filled with barakah and a means of your life being extended. And if you cannot give financial charity, there are so many ways of giving charity with the intention of helping someone, with the intention of smiling in someone's face. There are so many ways you can give charity that isn't actually money. But the point is that qadr can be changed by your dua. There is no loss in making dua, and it grapples with qadr. So keep making the dua. Now, when do you know when to stop making dua for something? So I would say to you that some issues are extremely emotional. There are parts of your mental health. The more you think about it, sometimes people come to me and they're like, I can't think about it without like crying hardcore. I don't feel like I can function. I feel like I have no hope. If this is your circumstance that it's impacting your mental health to the point that you can't even function, then you make a dua and say, oh Allah, you know how much I've been making dua for this and how much I want to. But if I keep making dua for this right now, then I don't know if I can like emotionally handle the next week or emotionally handle the next year. So you don't stop hoping for that and praying for that, but you can call out to him and say, instead, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابِ النَّارِ. And that's a dua that's in Surah Al-Baqarah. Oh Allah, give us the best in this life and the next, and save us from hellfire. And you can tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that part of that dua for you, you're intending, is this particular dua that you want to make, but you just, like, you're at a place where, like, if you keep making this dua so emotionally, you're afraid you're going to have a breakdown. So if that's your situation, then reassess your way of making dua. But if that's not your situation, if you're not going to like have an emotional breakdown consistently and be unable to function by making this dua, because sometimes these are about very triggering issues. And so yes, dua can absolutely help us process what we're triggered by. And subhanAllah, if you look at a mountain, like if you're going to climb a mountain, and we see these mountains in our lives, if you're going to get over that mountain, like, yes, you are going to make dua to help you get over the mountain. You're going to have a rope that you cling onto to like get over it. But you're also going to need to wear shoes, and you also need a pick, and you also need a backpack with food in it. You need all these other support and supplies. So that rope is that dua, that connection with Allah to help you get through it. But you also need all this other support. So maybe as you're going through therapy, reading Quran, reading the seerah, being with your friends, those are the places that you can feel that emotional connection while making a generalized dua. And then when you're ready, you can go back to the hardcore, serious, personalized dua. If that's not your circumstance, then make dua forever for the same thing. There's no point that you need to say, I need to let go of this dua,
But what you could do is recognize that maybe Allah hasn't willed for this dua for me to come true right now, or maybe in my life. And so instead you could say, oh Allah, you're asking for this dua. But what I always recommend for any dua that you make is you say, oh Allah, if it's good for me. Because He can answer you. He will answer you. And sometimes you might want that so badly, but then after a year, you're like, that wasn't good for me. And I begged so hard, but I should have trusted in Allah. And that's okay. We, you know, it's human. It's, we all make mistakes. And so we don't know what's best for us. We just think this is best for us. And sometimes after it happens, we're like, oh, Allah really knows better. So always include in your dua, if it's best, give me this. If it's best, and if it's not, give me better. If it's not, give me better. And that's why istikhara is so beautiful. Because istikhara, subhanAllah, it's putting your trust in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, and that your decision, inshallah, no matter what you decide with istikhara, is the right one, and asking for contentment in it. And you ask for something better in the process. So don't give up on your dua, even if it's been years. I've made dua for 10 years for something before it came true, for 8 years before it came true. And I'm in the process of making more duas that I haven't seen answered yet, and it's been years. But as long as it's not impacting your mental health to the point that you can't function, keep making that dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you better than what you asked for. Ask Him to bless you with it if it's good for you. And know that He will give you better than what you ask. So pray for that dua and say, oh Allah, give me better than everything that I'm asking. And also, again, if you think that it's going to impact your mental health, then make a generalized dua. Don't give up on making the dua, but just make a more generalized dua that you can handle in the moment. And Allah truly knows best. These are just some reflections that I'm giving from, I think a lot of times when we look at books of Islamic history and classical Islamic works, they address so many incredible issues. And then we look at our reality and what people are going through right now. And so we look at that and we say, okay, like this is the reality we're going through. We're going to merge this with our understanding of what scholars in the past have had. So you yourself, that might change for you over time. And you just reassess when it does. And then at that point, you just shift your dua at that point, inshallah.
Inshallah. That's such great, great advice. Keep making dua for that thing as long as you can. That's amazing. And I know we're running a little short on time, so I just have one final question, then hopefully you can close us out with a beautiful dua. But the final question is just, you know, we know that there are certain times that are actually really great times to make dua. And if you could expound on that.
So anytime is a good time to make dua. And then there are certain times that are even more blessed. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is an amazing time to make dua, especially when you're fasting in the moment of iftar, when you're going to break your fast, before Fajr comes in, that last part of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for people to ask for forgiveness and make dua so He will answer. When you go into sujood, when you say your at-tahiyyat, that at-tahiyyatu lillah, that part of your salah, right after that, if you make dua, that's a time of your dua being accepted. Between the adhan and the iqamah, what I would suggest right now, and this is totally me making this up, but obviously we're not going into our masajid, and many of us don't actively have the opportunity to go to many masajid because they're closed for us or for so many other reasons, may Allah bless our ummah. And so you could have someone or yourself make listen to an adhan, put on adhan in your home, make an iqamah, and hope that Allah will accept that from you. Totally making that up. I'm not taking that from a fiqh book. I should have taken that from a fiqh book before answering it. Ignore that. Inshallah, I will do the research and then come back to you with that. When it's raining, there are so many times when you're traveling, when you're sick, literally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is literally like, oh, do you need something? Because all the doors are open for dua to be answered. And then, oh, you want even more? Here's even more. You just can't lose. Just make dua all the time. Every time. Every single moment, make dua. And then in those moments specifically, it's just an extra time, inshallah, when your dua is answered. And subhanAllah, when you look at Zakariya alayhi salam, he made dua for a child. He's a prophet of God. His wife was barren and he was older. So, I mean, I don't know how many years Zakariya alayhi salam prayed for a child, but he didn't give up alayhi salam. I mean, we're talking about a wife who can never have a baby, a woman who can never have a baby, and a husband who calls out in his dua, a prophet alayhi salam. His bones are feeble and his hair has turned white. Subhanallah, this is an elder person. And alayhi salam, a prophet of God, and he never gave up in his dua. So make dua all the times, make dua at all of the times, And inshallah, your dua will be answered in the best way at the best time. And please make dua for me and Melanie and our families too.
Inshallah. One last question, actually, because this is one that actually came up a ton, particularly for those who are converts, who aren't native Arabic speakers, the differences in language. Can I just make dua in English? Is it so important that I memorize some duas in Arabic? If you can touch on that, I think it'd be really helpful.
That's such an important question. I totally understand your question. I'm not Arab, and most of my family members are converts, and so I totally, completely understand where you're coming from. So glad, Melanie, that you brought it up. You do not need to make dua in Arabic. There are du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or du'as in the Quran that are so beautiful that you can memorize if you want to. You can even memorize the translation of that. But really, du'a is a conversation with Allah from your heart. So you will call out to Him however you can, in whatever language you can. And He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, He knows every language. Obviously, He can understand everything you say. But also, it's what's coming from your heart. If you're going to say a du'a you've memorized, but you don't know what you're saying, and it feels foreign, and that's beautiful to practice with that, but it's not an obligation, it's not a necessity. And if anything, if you can call out with sincerity, with words that mean something to you, not only, inshallah, will you feel more healed and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears and sees the sincerity that comes from your heart. Inshallah.
Amazing, thank you. Would you like to close out with a dua? Can you hear me?
Alhamdulillah, we're back.
Alhamdulillah. Would you like to close us out with a dua?
Okay, yes. So if you can, I would recommend you face the qibla. Put up your hands, of course, if you can. Oh Allah, thank you, Ya Allah, for all that you have blessed us with. Ya Rabbana lak alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. I can never thank you in our lives. Allahumma, thank you, Ya Allah, for the blessings that you have given us in our lives. Oh, for Allah. Ya Rabbana, as you are witnessing us gathering here right now, Ya Allah, Allahumma, gather us into the highest paradise, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا سَابِقَ الْعَذَابِ. Oh Allah, gather us into Firdaus al-A'la, not just us who are present, Ya Rabb, but every single person that we love, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. Allahumma, every single person here right now, Ya Allah, we all have needs in our hearts. Ya Allah, so many du'as that we make to you, Ya Allah, you hear us calling to you. Ya Allah, you hear our calls to you and you know the needs of our hearts. Ya Allah, please don't let any single one of us leave this moment except every single need of our heart is answered, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And oh Allah, answer it with more than we ask for, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma, answer the needs of every single one of our hearts and even more than we ask for, Ya Allah. And not just for us, Ya Rabb, but every single person that we love, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma, any person who comes to you asking of you, Ya Rabb, Allahumma, answer our dua with better than we ask it, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. Allahumma, anyone whom we love who is sick, cure them immediately and completely, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. A miraculous cure that doesn't have any sickness after it, Ya Allah. Allahumma, any single one of us who is struggling with anything, oh Allah, ease it for us, put barakah in our lives and change it, Ya Rabbana. Allahumma, change it, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. Allahumma, bless us with better than we ask for, Ya Rabb. Oh Allah, help our ummah. Allahumma, help the vulnerable, Ya Allah. Allahumma, ansur ikhwanina fi kulli makan, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma, be with this ummah who is suffering so much, Ya Allah. Allahumma, have mercy on this ummah, Ya Allah. Allahumma, have mercy on our ummah. Oh Allah, so many of us have lost loved ones whom we love. And Ya Allah, you know our pain with them. Ya Allah, we entrust you with their akhirah, Ya Rabb. And we ask you to give them the highest paradise. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا سَابِقَ الْعَذَابِ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allahumma, Ya Allah, in this Ramadan, let us leave this Ramadan completely forgiven, our ranks raised with you, and entered into the highest paradise. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا سَابِقَ الْعَذَابِ.
رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولجميع المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى اللهم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم آمين.
And just to end with سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
Thank you so much, Mariam. This was so beautiful. Thank you so much for being a part of this.
I'm so honored that you invited me. Thank you. And thank you so much for the questions. And thank you, everyone.